Chapter 9. Of all the children, it was Nancy who thought about the little house most. No matter how busy she was with Christmas plans and work, pictures of the little house would come flashing into her mind. She would see it as it had looked the night they first rode out to it, silver in the moonlight. Or imagine how it would look in the springtime when the garden was coming back to life and the flowers they had planted for travelers' joy were blossoming by the roadside. She pictured it, too, on dark nights without the moonlight, and on the cold gray mornings when there was no sun to warm it. She wished she could see it with the birds around it. She did not know what birds would come to a little country house in winter, but Grandpa and Carl the 12th were so busy now that they had no time for rambling. Then Mrs. Brown had a good idea. She put a small feeding station in her backyard so that the two pupils in her school could watch the birds. Chickadees and juncos came, along with the sparrows and the beautiful but saucy blue jays. There was even a downy woodpecker with a bright red spot on his head. Now, when Nancy came home for dinner at noon, she always had something to tell Grandma and Grandpa about the birds. And now she could picture the birds at the little house. Ben didn't have a chance to see the birds much himself, but Mrs. Taylor walked over to watch them a little while every day and sent word to the children that the little house now had a great deal of company. Mr. Sanborn kept his promise to try to find out something about the house and the picture of the little girl. One day after school, the Carlson girls came hurrying to tell Nancy and Alex what Mr. Sanborn had learned. "Mr. Sanborn says he didn't really find out anything about the picture," Elsa reported, "but he did find out that old Jacob built the little house when he was a young man, and his three sons and one little daughter were born in it. And the little daughter's name was Mariette. And what do you think? She died when she was only 10, and I think the picture is of her. Mr. Sanborn said it was an unusual name for a little New England girl. Marietta is common, but not Mariette. I think it's beautiful." "She died when she was only 10, said Nancy solemnly, "when she was only a little girl?" "Yes," said Elsa. "At first I thought it was so sad. I couldn't go to sleep last night, and I got up and went out in the kitchen and told Mama. And she said we mustn't feel sad. We must remember the song we love to have Grandpa sing to us, about nobody is safer than God's little children. And Mama said we must remember that God keeps his little children just as safe whether they're living in this world or have died into the next. And now I'm glad she died when she was 10. "Glad," said Nancy. "Well, maybe I ought not to be," said Elsa. "But if she was only 10 when she died, it seems as if she is still 10, and as if, in a way, she still lives in the little silver house. Not a grown-up lady, but a little girl." "But we haven't got anything to prove that the picture is Mariette," said Alex. "Oh, it is," said Nancy. "You'd know it is, if only you could see it. It must be." Sigrid asked Grandpa if they could ask Mr. Taylor to unwrap the picture again so they could all see it. "Sometime after Christmas," said Grandpa. "Everybody is too busy just now." The Crimson Ramblers thought they were busiest of all. When they told Grandma they had decided that they would each buy or make one thing for Dick and give him one thing of their own, something they really loved themselves, she smiled at them. "Now you are showing that you are real Christmas children," she said. "To give gladly something you want yourself, that is the real spirit of Christmas." But when it came to deciding definitely to part with something, they all found it harder than they thought it would be. Sigrid made up her mind at once and stuck to her decision, as she usually did. She would send Dick the box of crayons Grandma Carlson had given her. Sigrid loved to draw, and these crayons were much nicer than any she'd ever had before. When the other children tried to tell her how good they thought she was, she didn't seem to want to talk about it. "I think she's afraid she'll cry," said Elsa. "She loves those crayons." Elsa's dearest possessions were the few books she owned. Her favorite was a book of fairy tales and legends. In it were stories of the Sleeping Beauty and Snow White and Rose Red, of the Ugly Duckling and the Little Mermaid, of Aladdin and Ali Baba, and of Jason and the Golden Fleece. There were 25 stories, and Elsa loved them all. Should she send this book to Dick? No, he would like Swiss Family Robinson just as well. That is what she had decided before Grandma called the Crimson Ramblers real Christmas children. Elsa went home and put Swiss Family Robinson back in the bookcase. Even a boy couldn't possibly like it so well as Aladdin and Ali Baba and Jason and the Golden Fleece. She took out fairy tales and legends for Dick. It was hard to give up, though, and nobody but Elsa would ever know how many times the two books changed places before Dick's box was packed. Alex decided to send Dick a favorite book, too, his Robinson Crusoe. Helga planned to send her dominoes. Nancy didn't know what to send. Her books had been left at home when she came to visit Grandma. Surely Dick would not want a doll, even if she could have brought herself to part with Charlotte. Neither would he want her chain and locket, or her Swedish costume, or her Alice in Wonderland apron. Then she thought of the riddle book, the book with 101 riddles that Papa had sent her in the spring, and that had given so much pleasure to them all. She almost wished she hadn't thought of it until it was too late. Then she remembered what Grandma had said about real Christmas children. "Would Dick like my riddle book?" she asked Ben. "Oh, yes," said Ben, with so much enthusiasm that Nancy knew she would have to part with it. "He can ask all the kids riddles. It will be great." Ben had so few things of his own that the other children wondered how he could find anything to put in Dick's box. He told them rather gruffly, "I'm going to send Dick a quarter. My grandmother gave it to me just before she went to the home. She said it was for an emergency." "A whole quarter," said Sigrid. "I bet Dick never had a quarter in his life. That's wonderful." Ben turned red, but he looked pleased. He showed the children how Mrs. Taylor had polished the quarter for him with silver polish so that it looked bright and new. She had found a small cardboard box with cotton in it for the quarter to lie on. It looked like a very special kind of present. Nancy bought some paper to go with Sigrid's crayons, and Helga used two of her pennies for a pencil with an eraser on it. Sigrid made some molasses cookies all herself, and Ben gathered and shelled some nuts. Elsa took some postcards and carefully cut each one into pieces to make a picture puzzle. The children thought Alex had the best present of all for Dick. When the Crimson Rambler Club was formed, Mrs. Brown had thoughtfully taken a picture of the members to send to Nancy's mother. Now she took another picture with Ben in it, too. Alex made three frames from thin wood so that Ben's grandmother, Nancy's mother, and Dick could each hang a copy of the little picture on the wall. Ben was delighted with this. "Now they can see how Carl the 12th and his wagon look," he said. While they were wrapping the presents and packing the box, Ben talked more than he had at any time since the children had known him. He made Dick, lying alone by his window all day, seem so real that they all felt glad to be sending him some of their dearest possessions. "Nancy," said Elsa, "remember those emergency stamps we saved when we were writing letters at the farm? We could use one for a Crimson Rambler letter to Dick. Then he will have a letter and a box, too." Mrs. Brown brought them some paper, and each member of the club wrote a sentence or two in the letter. "An emergency stamp is a good idea," said Nancy. "I thought it would be," said Elsa. On the third Sunday in Advent, Wanda was the guest. They sang Christmas songs when the candle first began to burn. But after a while, Grandma said that, since Wanda was with them, it would be a good time to begin to make their Christmas carameller. "Oh, yes," said Helga, jumping up at once. "It's so much fun to make carameller." Grandma and Nancy had already put on the dining room table many pieces of colored tissue paper, some gilt and silver paper, and some small colored pictures cut from magazines. Grandma, Aunt Anna, and Aunt Martha had been saving this kind of thing all year, because every Swedish house must have carameller for Christmas. There were scissors and paste on the table, too, and three plates of candy. One plate held fudge, not the rich maple butternut fudge Aunt Martha made once or twice a year. That would be too expensive for carameller. This was plain brown sugar fudge without any nuts. Each piece was about 3 inches long, an inch wide, and a quarter of an inch thick. On another plate were peppermint sticks from Grandpa's store. They were about half an inch thick, and Grandpa had cut them into pieces 3 inches long. On the third plate were broken pieces of fudge and peppermint sticks for the children to eat. Aunt Anna showed them how to wrap a caramel. She cut a strip of light blue tissue paper 6 inches wide and long enough to wrap several times around a piece of fudge. She wrapped the fudge so it came right in the middle of the paper, with an inch and a half of paper left over at each end. Then she pasted the paper down securely so the fudge would not slip out. At each end of the caramel, she cut the paper into strips to make fringe. Then she wrapped a peppermint stick caramel the same way. She pasted a picture of a pink rose on the blue caramel. She cut a very narrow strip of gilt paper and wound it around the pink peppermint stick caramel. Of course you don't have to make them this way exactly, she said. You'll all have some good ideas about ways to make them pretty. But be sure to wrap the paper so that it is smooth and tight and paste it on securely. And be sure to have fringe, said Helga. Oh, yes, said Aunt Anna. They wouldn't be proper carameller without fringe. Sigrid made a white caramel. Instead of using a picture from a magazine, she drew and colored some holly and pasted that on the caramel. Nancy made a red one and decorated it with some pieces cut from a lace paper doily. They looked like snowflakes. Wanda wrapped a caramel in two pieces of tissue paper, one pink and one blue. The two colors made the fringe look very gay. While the children were working, the men sat in the sitting room singing Swedish Christmas songs. By supper time, there was a big plate full of carameller on the table, and there were not nearly enough to last until Christmas. The children would have to keep on making more, for beginning tomorrow, Lucia Day, carameller would be offered to every guest who came to the house. After supper, Alex read the Christmas story, and the children sang carols. Ben chose the last one. It came upon the midnight clear. Nancy, you'll love tomorrow, said Elsa, as the Carlsons were leaving. I know, said Helga. Tomorrow is Lucia Day. About 5:30 Monday morning, Nancy was wakened by the sound of Grandpa's voice singing a Swedish carol. She was wide awake in an instant and sat up in bed in the darkness. Teddy came dashing through the hall and bounded up onto the bed beside her. In a minute, she could hear Grandpa and Grandma coming up the stairs. She could see that there was some kind of light coming through the hall. Then Grandma stood in the doorway. She was dressed in white. On her head was a wreath of evergreen, and set all around the wreath were lighted candles. A wreath of lighted candles! Their flames danced whenever Grandma moved. For a time, Nancy could look at nothing but the wreath. She hardly heard when Grandma spoke to her. Oh, Grandma, she said at last. Then she realized that Grandma held a tray decorated with evergreen and lighted candles. On it were her silver coffee pot, cream and sugar, 3 cups, 4 saucers, and some Swedish coffee bread. Every Lucia morning when Grandma was a little girl, her mother had come, dressed in white and with a lighted wreath on her head, to bring her the Lucia coffee. Every year since Grandma was married, she had done the same thing for her family. Nancy knew that this morning, probably this very minute, Aunt Anna, in her lighted wreath and white dress, would be taking the Lucia coffee to Uncle John and the girls, and Aunt Martha, with her lighted wreath, would be going to Uncle Sven. Grandma set the tray on the table near Nancy's bed, and she and Grandpa sat down so they could all 4 have their Lucia coffee. The 4th saucer was, of course, for Teddy. The coffee bread was made in the shape of cats. Neither Grandpa nor Grandma knew the origin of this custom. They knew only that coffee bread cats were the proper things to have on Lucia Day. Grandma kept her lighted wreath on her head, and they drank their coffee and ate their cats by the light from its candles and from those on the tray. The name Lucia means light, said Grandpa. And Lucia Day is one more thing to remind us of the great light of Christmas. From this day on until 12th night, he told Nancy they must not let anyone who came to the house go out without first partaking of some hospitality. If they did, the spirit of Christmas would go out too. Everyone who came must be offered a cup of coffee or a cookie or one of the carameller, or something else to eat. It didn't matter whether they were guests or those who came to the house on errands as the milkman and the postman did. When they had finished drinking their coffee, Grandma told Nancy to put on her bathrobe and slippers. Grandpa wrapped her in a heavy blanket and carried her across the street so that she could be with Mrs. Brown and Alex and Ben when Grandma came in her lighted wreath to bring them their Lucia coffee. From this time on, Nancy was in charge of seeing that the Christmas spirit did not go out of the Benson's house. As soon as anyone came to the door, she was ready with a treat. Most of all, she liked to pass the carameller. But of course, the people who came to the house often couldn't have one of these every time. Each could choose a caramel only once. Even so, Nancy had to keep on making more and more. Now Grandma was busier than ever, baking and getting all sorts of things ready for Christmas. On Saturday, Uncle Sven came for the children, all except Ben, who couldn't be spared from the grocery store, and they spent the whole day in Aunt Martha's kitchen, making Christmas wreaths and other decorations. And then it was the last Sunday in Advent, the day when John August was to come. But this Sunday was not a beautiful, clear day as the others had been. It had begun to storm in the night, and by morning the storm was almost a blizzard. Grandpa went to church, but he would not let Grandma and Nancy go out. When he came home again, he was worn out from fighting the wind. John was in church, he said, but not Anna and the girls, and of course Ben and Martha did not go there. I'm afraid there'll be nobody but ourselves at the Advent candle lighting today. Certainly they won't dare take John August out now. I don't even dare to try to carry Alex across the street in all this wind and snow. It was a great disappointment. Whatever will Helga do? Asked Nancy. She's been talking about this Sunday all month. They felt sorriest of all for Helga. Her mother will have a hard time trying to comfort her, said Grandma. But there was nothing they could do about it. It was still snowing and blowing when it was time for the Advent candle lighting at 4 o'clock, but it was warm and cozy in the house. Oscar came in and lay down in the sitting room, and Teddy sat in Grandma's lap. So there are 5 of us, said Nancy. Grandpa and Grandma talked about Christmas as they remembered from their own childhood and from the time when their children were small. Nancy told about the happy Christmas day she had had with Mama and Papa. Then Grandma showed her an unusual thing. When I was a little girl in Sweden, she said, I used to think the cats and kittens didn't get so much for Christmas as the other animals did. The horses and cows would get extra grain and hay, and we always saved some bones for the dogs, and the birds had their treat too, but we couldn't spare more than the tiniest bit of milk for the cats. They were my special pets, and I wanted them to have something very nice. So, long before Christmas, I used to begin to make them presents. I used to knit a pair of mittens for the front feet and a pair of stockings for the hind feet of every cat on the farm. Grandma put her hand in the pocket of her dress and pulled out a small box. In the box was a little striped stocking that had once belonged to a cat in Sweden many, many years ago. The foot of the stocking was black. The leg had stripes going round and round. Brown, orange, and black. The stocking was beautifully knitted, and Grandma had been only a little girl when she made it. Nancy was completely charmed by the thought of cats and kittens wearing mittens and stockings. She touched the little striped stocking gently. Where are the others you knitted? She asked. Grandma laughed. I guess the cats lost them soon after Christmas, she said. I don't suppose they thought so highly of their Christmas gifts as I did. While Grandma and Nancy were talking about the little striped stocking, Grandpa said he would feed the animals and bring supper into his 2 ladies, too. He set a little table in front of Grandma and put a tablecloth on it. Then he brought in bread and butter, meat and cheese, a pot of coffee, and a pitcher of milk. They ate their supper with only the Advent candle for light. "We don't know what to give Ben for Christmas," Nancy said. "All he seems to want is to go back to the city." I know, said Grandpa, and it is the one thing he can't do. Of course I want to be with Mama and Papa, said Nancy, but, oh dear, I don't want to go back to the city. I wish Mama and Papa could be here and we could all be together forever. But even if Ben's grandmother came here, I guess he'd still be lonesome for the city.
Perhaps he would, said Grandpa. He seems to be happy here at times, and I'm sure the Taylors are good to him, but he's still lonesome underneath it all.
Grandpa, said Nancy, I know it costs an awful lot to travel, but do you think if we each gave a little money to Ben, not just the children but the grown-ups too, we could get enough for him to put a dollar or so in the bank, and we could tell him that is the beginning of a trip to the city, and maybe by summer he could have earned enough to go with it so that he could go to visit his grandmother.
Grandma and Grandpa thought about Nancy's suggestion for a while.
I think it might be a good idea, said Grandma. It would give Ben something to work toward.
I think so, too, said Grandpa. I think it might help him. Let me talk to the Taylors about it first. Their friend would probably know some place where Ben could stay in the city for a week or two, so that he would have to pay only his fare. We could find out how much that would be, and then Ben would know how near he was getting to his goal. It would be a great thing for him to have something like that to look forward to.
You were a thoughtful girl to plan that, Nancy, said Grandma. Now Nancy read the Christmas story. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Teddy purred loudly in Grandma's lap. Oscar thumped his tail now and then, and the candle flame grew brighter, and then suddenly went out. Now it was Christmas week. On Friday, it would be Christmas Eve.